Mentoring can be very practical, according to Donna Otto.
I think there's no phase of a woman's life that she cannot learn from an older woman. Sometimes it is absolutely the minutiae of life that rearranges us. It is that tidbit that says, here's how to put a menu together. Oh, is that how you get it to the table hot at the same time? So an older woman is that woman who comes in and gives her life perspective.
This is the Revive Our Hearts podcast with Nancy DeMoss Walkemuth, author of Adorned, for July 20th, 2020. I'm Dana Gresh. Well, it's a joy to welcome back to Revive Our Hearts Donna Otto, who is a wife, a mom, a grandmom. She's an author. She's a speaker. She's the founder of a terrific ministry called Homemakers by Choice. She has a heart for the Lord, a heart for home. She's been with us before on Revive Our Hearts. And Donna, we're delighted to have you back with us again.
Thank you very much. It's great to be here.
And we're joined today by about 30 women who are with us in the studio who've come to be mentored. As I was reading your most recent book, I learned that we have something in common.
You probably don't know this, but something
that came as a little bit of a surprise because I'd never heard anybody say this before. The way I say it, and people who know me have heard me say for years, that my goal in life since I was a little girl has always been to be a godly old lady.
How sweet.
And when I read on page 207 of your book something similar, I kind of smiled. You said, from the time I was quite a young woman, I have seen myself as a gray-haired teacher who derives energy and pleasure from helping younger women learn to manage their lives. And I thought, she's always wanted to be a godly old lady, too.
I know.
Have you found that the old part comes easier than the godly? That's my experience.
A hearty yes to that.
And so you and I are both gray-haired women now, and you have a heart for mentoring younger women, for nurturing and encouraging them in the ways of God. You trained your daughter as she was growing up. Now she's out of the home, and God is using you to train and nurture other women. Talk to us about how you got this whole burden for mentoring and what that means.
I don't think I ever got a vision for it as much as I paused long enough in one of my rhythms of rest to see what it had meant to my life. I was completely overwhelmed by the number of women who had intentionally swept into my life to help me.
Who's the earliest one that you remember?
My seventh grade teacher, Mrs. Eric, who I tried to find as an adult woman. I tried to find her. She was already dead. She came into my life like a storm. She was my seventh grade teacher, homeroom teacher, and she came into my life and said, I want you, Donna Santani, to leave this classroom and go into this classroom. And in doing that, I was leaving precious friendships because there was no way to keep connected with this and go into this new classroom. I cried, kicked my feet, stormed about, told her that she was mean and awful and dreadful. I can't imagine all the things I really said to her. But she told me later that she felt that God had, she was in a public school system, wanted me out of the environment of those girls. Mm. One of Otto's mottos, you are who you hang out with. Every one of those five girls came to early demise and dreadful life.
Wow.
She dropped me into a classroom of young women who I still, 50 years later, we are friends. Hmm. We are seeing one another two or three times a year, and a couple of them serve Christ with me. Mm-hmm. So, yes, she was my seventh grade teacher, and she intentionally, with forethought, did something I didn't like, I didn't want.
But she knew it was what would be best for you.
She did.
She had a vision for your life.
She did. She saw into it beyond what I could see and then was willing to do something about it. And I know the word mentoring is not a word we find in the scripture, but the concepts of mentoring are very godly principles. And I think it's a time in an era. Francis Schaeffer said the spirit of the age seeps into the church. And I think there are certain words and certain concepts we bring into the church because they work, because they really are biblical concepts. A lot of women in my life came in and said, I want want to mentor you. I want to help you. I want to encourage you. I want to affirm you. I want to teach you. There was a composite of all of those things. So when I paused long enough to see that was in my life, I thought, I too want to do that. Then I went to the scripture to find there were many places that God encouraged me to do that. In the Psalms, he says, give to the next generation mm-hmm. the deeds and actions of God. Well, how hard is that? And my definition of this thing called mentoring is giving your life perspective away. Giving mm-hmm. your life perspective away. It's uniquely mine. Now, look, we found we have this in common. We both want to be gray-haired, godly girls. Hey, that's kind of a lot of G's there, gray-haired, godly girls. And I did want to do that, I think, because I hoped when I got there, not that I have learned everything, but I would be past the hard siege of learning and able to pass it on. And of course, the passage that draws most of our attention is the Titus passage. And for me, that passage was not only the reminder that God had called us to do it, but the reason for it, which is all summed in the last phrase, that the word of God will not be dishonored.
And of course, the passage we're talking about is where older women are instructed to train younger women how to be a woman of God, how to be a godly wife, how to be a godly mother, and how to be a keeper of their home.
And you see, what you just did is so seldom done with that passage, but you divided all women into four main walks of life.
Mm-hmm.
And when we pause long enough to look at womanhood, we say, we're always a woman.
Mm-hmm.
My grandmother was 85 years old before she stopped taking care of the room she lived in. And we all take care of a space where we live until we die or are unable to. Most of us are wives, and most of us are mothers. Now, I'm not talking about the isolated cases. I'm not talking about the population that is single. They are still falling into two main categories of this passage. And here is Paul telling his young disciple, his young mentee, his young protege, his young son of the heart, now you go back and tell those old women. Because the context there is that these old women had raised their children, had already recovered the sofa for the last time, had their husbands and their relationship, and now what were they doing? They had afternoon free, and what they were doing is going from house to house, sipping a little too much wine, and becoming malicious gossips. Well, thank you. I can become a malicious gossip without the wine. And Paul says, you go back. I don't care if you're a young man. You go back and tell the women, this is not what you're supposed to be doing. This is what you're supposed to be doing. And one of my mentors and heroes of the faith was Elizabeth Elliot.
And let me just insert here. I know that some of our listeners have heard Donna on Gateway to Joy in years past, which I believe is where I first heard you.
Oh.
And the Lord gave you the privilege of learning a lot from Elizabeth, one of your spiritual heroes and mentors. What are some of the things you learned from her?
She's been that to thousands, tens of thousands.
It's amazing how often I hear women say Elizabeth Elliot was a mother
to
me.
Yes, spiritual mother.
And I think some of our listeners would love to hear what you learned from her.
Well, what I learned from her was encouraging me to learn what God wanted me to learn on my own. I was in her study. She had this beautiful study. She lives on the East Coast, right on the shore of the Atlantic Ocean. And out her windows, which they designed the home so it would be that way, where she typed and worked, was the ocean. The waves crashing on the rocks. And I'm in this little study sitting on the sofa with her. And I ask her this question. This epitomizes what she taught me and how she taught me. Okay, Elizabeth. Tell me what you do every morning here in your study time. Why? Because I wanted to do whatever she did.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I didn't tell her that. Mm-hmm. I don't think I even knew that myself.
Mm-hmm.
But she knew that would not be good for me. And I look back on that one little conversation, which represented many conversations, where what I was saying, tell me, tell me, tell me, so I can go home and do it your way.
Right.
And I'm a persistent girl. And I ask her that question in four or five different ways that morning. She never answered me.
Hmm.
What she did was direct me in her way to find that out for myself.
Because she didn't want you patterning your life after her, but after the Lord.
Exactly. And now that young women ask me that question, I understand it.
Mm-hmm.
So what did I learn from her? What I learned from her is that she respected the God in me and what God wanted to do with me. That I didn't become an Elizabeth Elliot devotee.
Mm-hmm.
I became a devoted to God woman because she kept encouraging me to go there. You know the pin the tail on the donkey game?
Yeah.
You know, years ago I thought about this and I thought, that is a mean game. You put a blindfold on someone, you turn them around and make them get dizzy, and then you say, now, see if you can find the donkey. And I've thought so many times that a godly woman inspires a woman of the next generation. And she plays pin the tail on the donkey, only she plays the game by saying, Jesus is the one riding the donkey, and I point you to him at every time and every opportunity. Mm-hmm. Not to me. I'm not going to turn you around like the world does and try to confuse you and make you dizzy and then laugh at you when you make the mistake and put the donkey's tail on his throat. I'm going to point you to the one who has all the answers. Now, Elizabeth was always very sweet and gracious to me. She was very respectful of what God wanted to do with me in my life. So she taught me by her own life. She taught me by her disciplines. She taught me by the way she was devoted to doing the right thing. Doing the right thing isn't always easy, but right is right, no matter how few people are doing it, and wrong is always wrong, no matter how many people are doing it. And she lived her life that way. So I watched her, and I caught it, and she allowed me to be a woman that she taught, and she taught me many things, both personal and private and public, and how to do what God's called me to do. I think the other thing that she taught me was God will call whom he wants for you to reach into their lives. I do believe the Titus passage gives me the mandate. Shall I wait for a young woman to knock on my door? I think not. I think God says, old women, go out and do this.
So you ask the Lord, whose life do you want me to invest in?
Exactly. Exactly. She laughed one day and said, women are so busy right now, they're doing underwater macrame just to keep from discipling and training and being older women in the lives of others. I mean, how silly is underwater macrame? But we find a lot of reasons for being busy and not reaching in by the mandate of God to other lives. The reason why we don't want to knock on the door of someone's house is because we're afraid they'll think, I'm knocking on the door saying, here am I have all the answers to your life.
And you're not saying that as a mentor.
Not at all.
And actually, you're saying sometimes, learn from my failures. Learn from the things I wish I had done differently.
Most often. Because that's the authentic life of a godly woman who has not done it right and is not perfect, doesn't even try to be, just tries to live the standard an ideal that God has set before us in the Word. So that mandate is go out there and give your life perspective away to a younger woman.
You talk about two different kinds of relationships we need as women. One is with mentors. The other is with what you call sisters. Help us know what the difference is and why we need both.
Yeah, sisters. I suppose it's because I didn't have a sister. I love the word sister. But I really believe that the Scripture calls us in two places in the gospel, he describes what family is. Who are my brothers and sisters? When you read that, you almost hear a tone of, if Christ could be sarcastic, he is, because his mother and his brothers, literal biological brothers, are standing out there beckoning him, almost accosting him to stop running around and doing so much and come home. Mm-hmm. I can see Mary, the little Jewish mother, come home, I'm going to make you some chicken soup and get some rest. And Christ says, what do you mean? Who are my mothers and brothers and sisters? And then he closes that by saying, those who do the will of God. Now, I have a biological brother. I have two biological brothers. I don't have a sister. My biological brothers have not made a choice for Christ. I believe that in womanhood, we need women who have made the choice for Christ, who are choosing to live their life based on biblical principles, who are increasing, as Peter said, increasing every day in every way. Not that we draw a line in the sand and say, this is it, I don't need to learn anymore. Increasing every day in their walk of faith. And that woman is a sister of faith who I journey through life together with.
And so what does that look like?
She looks like a woman my age. She looks like a woman my stage and status. My daughter married late, had a child late. She was very frustrated for a season in her life when her former dearly beloved friends, sisters of the faith, were all marrying and having children. And she would say to me, we have so little in common these days. They don't understand where, and no, honey, they don't. It's all right. They're still sisters. But you need to have a sister who's walking in faith where you are. The sister who says, I understand that today I want to get in the playpen and send the children out. It's okay. I don't have time to flush the toilet today. I don't have time to prepare a meal today. I feel sleep deprived today. And that sister on the phone says, I understand. I am with you. I'm walking with you. My best friend is a woman who is 3 weeks younger than I am, and she never lets me forget that. But we are walking through the same stages of life, married children, grown children, single daughters, marriage that changes after retirement. Men are changing as much as women are changing, and I have to learn to live with this new man I'm living with. This is not the man I married.
Mm-hmm.
I'm learning a new thing.
So this is someone who encourages you and
says, I
understand.
She understands. She's at the same space. She's not the older woman who's been there already.
Mm-hmm.
She's the woman who's walking with me, not the woman who's walked ahead of me. We have fun together. We pray together. We cry together. And she knows what it takes to serve me. Okay? In the 2 Timothy passage where Paul is pouring out his heart and saying, the house of Onesiphorus needs to be blessed by you, Timothy. He often refreshed me.
Mm-hmm.
I think that is, she often serves me. Why? Because she understands what I need to be served right now. Call me on the phone and tell me you're praying for me today. That serves me.
And there's a way that sister can bless and minister to your life that's different than how your husband does.
Yes. And, you know, the passage of Scripture that I really, first of all, I love Hannah. Of the women in the Bible, Hannah is always at the top of my list. She was a prayer, a perseverer, a faster. But there's that little vignette in the account where her husband who has more than one wife, he comes to her after her acknowledging, praying and fasting and weeping in the church. He acknowledges that she's barren. And he comes to her and he says these words, Hannah, Hannah, why are you weeping? Am I not better than 10 sons? Does he get it? He doesn't get it at all. He thinks that he is as good as 10 sons to a woman who is barren and desirous of having a child. Now, if I say anything about that walk of my life to another woman, how I feel monthly, how I feel if I've been barren, how I feel if I've lost a child in miscarriage, how I feel if I wanted 6 children and only have 1. Every part of that I can say to a woman, and she gets it. She understands immediately. So, yes, there is a relationship with a sister. Now, we're not talking about friendships. I've written the whole book about friendships. Best friend, peripheral friends, the kind of friends we have. But this sister is probably defined as the best friend in this season of life. Does she stay with you your whole life? Some women do. Some women don't. But it is a woman who's walking through life with you. So you have a sister over here who is walking with you and a sister over here who is in faith, who is an older woman who's walked ahead of you.
And that's what you call the mentor.
That's what I call the mentor.
Speak to these younger women about the importance of asking God for a mentor.
Yes, I think it is clearly God's desire for us and clearly the tool that God uses in our lives. When you have seen an older woman who has walked ahead of you and has been through what you've just experienced, devastation of health, financial reversals, unfaithful husbands, children who are unfaithful to the cause of all you taught them and gave to them. I mean, I can go on and on with that list of things that are common to a woman's heart. And now you have an older woman who has walked through those circumstances, been driven by her conviction, has calm in her life because she's past that. And she looks at you and says, it'll be okay. The words and actions and deeds of God go before you. It'll be okay. I made it through. You too can make it through. It'll be okay. Let me show you how I menu planned. It'll be okay. I think there's no a phase of a woman's life that she cannot learn from an older woman. Sometimes it is absolutely the minutia of life that rearranges mm-hmm. us. It is that tidbit that says, here's how to put a menu together. Oh, is that how you get it to the table hot at the same time? So an older woman is that woman who comes in and gives her life perspective. I do think you said this earlier, Nancy, and it's extremely important. When you're looking for a mentor, or you're looking for a daughter of your heart, which is what I call mm-hmm. these young women, daughters of my heart. When you're looking for that, look for someone who is authentic. Look for someone who is willing to tell you, I blew it. I was so bad at that. My husband has repeatedly asked me to, and I've not been able to. I think looking for authenticity in a Christian woman's life is extremely important in engaging in this kind of relationship. Your sister relationship, she needs to be authentic enough to be vulnerable with you and say, I blew it here. Looking for an older woman, I blew it then. God taught me. I've had young women who've come into my life and wanted me to mentor them, and they won't tell me the whole straight story. I can't have a relationship with someone like that. Mm-hmm. I won't steward my time that way. At some point, I say, ta-ta. The book I wrote called Finding a Mentor, Being a Mentor talks about those boundaries, how to start it, how to have a point where you stop and assess it. I think the other thing you bring in is not only authenticity, is the fact that you should be looking for a woman who's not desiring to mentor to meet her need.
Mm-hmm.
And this is very delicate. But if you've had a hard relationship with your daughter, well, sometimes an older woman is looking for a new daughter. Or you've had a hard relationship with your mother. Sometimes she's looking for a mother. I say that because I experienced that.
Mm-hmm.
I've experienced that on both sides.
Mm-hmm.
We had a young woman who lived with us for 2 years, and Kim wanted me to be her mama. And, it was so hard not to take that role. But I knew what God had taught me through people like Elizabeth. I needed to tutor Kim to give her my life perspective, which was, honey, you've got to find the answers to these questions with your God. And most importantly, you've got to get to a place of reconciliation with your mama. Your mama was not a good mama. That may be true. But you've got to find a right relationship with her for yourself. I can't be your mama. God's sovereignty did not allow for me to be your mama. I am the older woman in your life. You are a daughter of my heart. You always will be. And it was true for me. I was looking for a mama. I wanted someone to mama me because I had not been mamaed. And we have to be careful that we're not exchanging this precious relationship of a daughter of the heart for a need in our own lives. So I think we have to be really careful about why we're looking to mentor or be mentored.
Donna Otto has been talking with Nancy DeMoss-Walgemuth about the value of mentoring. Nancy, I know this topic is near to your heart, and it's one you've thought a lot about.
Yeah, it is, Dana. And the older I've gotten, the more I think about it, because I'm just so burdened to invest in the lives of younger women who are coming behind, how they can find God to be faithful and walk with Him in a faithful way. And I love that passage from Titus 2 that Donna referenced in the conversation we just heard. Those three verses in Titus 2 actually are the basis for a book I spent a decade writing on this very topic. That book is called Adorned, Living Out the Beauty of the Gospel Together. And it examines phrase by phrase those three verses in Titus chapter 2.
You know, Nancy, this is probably my favorite book that you've written. It is so rich with truth that every woman at every stage of life needs. I wonder, why did you select the title Adorned?
Well, first of all, because as women, we like pretty things, right? We like to be adorned. But that word is also found in the book of Titus, where it says that as we live according to the priorities and calling of God in our lives, including this concept of mentoring, we adorn the doctrine of Christ. That means the truth of Christ, the gospel, becomes more attractive to a watching world. We can't make the gospel and the truth of Christ any more beautiful than they already are, but we can live it out in such a way that when people look at us, they say, wow, that's beautiful.
Let it be so of all of us. And this week, we'd like to send you a copy of Nancy's book, Adorned, Living Out the Beauty of the Gospel Together. It's our way of saying thank you to you for your donation in support of Revive Our Hearts. Just mention the book Adorned when you contact us to make your gift. Visit us at reviveourhearts.com or call us at 1-800-569-5959. That's 1-800-569-5959.
And thank you so much for your support. It means a lot any time of the year, but especially during these summer months. Now, the pace at which many of us live today is a recipe for burnout. And that can even be true while we're doing good and necessary tasks. Donna describes her struggles in this area and talks about what to do about it. That's tomorrow on Revive Our Hearts.
Revive Our Hearts with Nancy DeMoss Wohlgemuth invites you to a life that adorns the gospel. Our program is an outreach of Life Action Ministries.